Welcome to the Round 11 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name is Marcus, and this week we're joined, as per usual, by FB Donkey.
G'day, everyone. How you going, mate?
Fantastic. I should really say hola, because I'm in beautiful Spain at the moment. It's actually 19 degrees, despite it being summer, unfortunately. Again, it seems to be the cold Melbourne weather's following me wherever I go, but can't complain too much. There's great food and wine, so even though my Supercoach team is tanking it, I've still got some sort of commitment to get back onto the show, so it'll be a short one. I'm literally dialing in from a hotel before checkout. I had to request a 30-minute extra on a late checkout so that I could squeeze this in. So hopefully it's some help to you guys. Mark, how did your Supercoach weekend go?
Good to hear your dedication there, Marcus. My Supercoach weekend was extremely frustrating ever since we recorded last week's podcast. I think my team was all set up to really dominate in round 11, and then that was just going to set me up for round 12 and 13. And then I had five players out that I didn't expect to be out leading into round 11. I think Bennell, Clark, Amon, Cracker. I had to make three trades just to get 18 players on the field, right? And then Dom Sheed comes out, sub, second week in a row. That sucks.
Oh, man.
He scores four. Gee, that really sucks. And that just completely brought my team down, destroyed my ranking. Without the four from Sheed, I think I would have done maybe okay. Scored 1830, ranking dropped out to nearly 5,000, and instead of attacking the buys and moving up in the rankings, it looks like I'm just going to be clawing my way through. And I'm not too badly set up for the next 2 weeks, but yeah, it's a pretty painful weekend, mate. How about you?
Literally the only reason I'm on is because I'm in Spain. I think if I was recording from Melbourne, I would not have any dedication for this show, because if you thought your week was bad, mate, 17-70 for me. I had to make three trades too, but I didn't even get 18 on field, mate. I got 17. That was the best I could do. Even that Ryder out that you didn't have out, Bell Chambers was out at the same time as Ryder, as I was really, really hoping wouldn't happen as we were recording last week's show. So I'm bitter. I'm not happy with my team, but 1770 only saw me drop 4K, so I guess everybody in my ranking is sort of struggling a little bit.
So you dropped my entire ranking and you think that that's a good thing?
At this stage, it's not a big deal, mate. I'm finishing 10K or 14K, there's really not much different at this stage. And besides, teams are really tightly stacked this time of year still. Still on the bye, so I'm not too concerned from a ranking perspective. It's just more frustrating because, like you said, we plan well for these situations. So when we get hit by bad luck and to this extent, it burns. It really burns. There's not much we can do about it. So,
what trades did you make last week, mate?
I brought in Kavanaugh instead of Boston, which was a bit interesting. I'm not too sure that was the best choice in hindsight. But anyway, Kavanaugh got Zeeble in. He scored 63 in his first week. Fantastic. But awesome. I needed a round 13 buy player, and I got rid of Bennell. I couldn't have that much money just sitting on my pine. I just need to do something a little bit more aggressive to get more cash on park this week. I couldn't just put two rookies on. I felt like I needed two premiums. Anyway, I still only got to 1770, so team struggle. But McDonald, I'm very happy about. And I targeted him.
Brought in McDonald to cancel out my unique against you.
Yep. And I'm pretty happy. I think in the back line, I've got Shaw, Hodge, McDonald, which I reckon they're probably the three guys to get down back. So I'm pretty happy with that. In terms of how the team's actually set up, it looks great. It's just bloody people need to get on park, I reckon. So hopefully round 12 will be a little bit better, mate.
Brought in Kavanaugh just like you instead of Boston, which cost 40 points, and yeah, I don't know what's going to happen from here. Brought in Alex Pierce. I was going to bring in Hamlin this week, but brought in Pierce instead, and he did pretty well. And I brought in Boomer instead of your Zeeble, and when Boomer was on 22 points halfway through the third quarter, I was pretty concerned, but he finished off with 72, which wasn't terrible, and banking on North's awesome draw from here.
On to our league update, Mark, because we'll move on to positive news. At least the rest of our community is doing brilliantly. So it's been a bit of a story of two tales. We got a question here from Speculator at Teddy McKay. He said, I want to quit because there's no more joy in Supercoach, only relief and despair. But he can't break the addiction. He wants advice, but I don't think you're going to get much helpful advice from complete Supercoach addicts in Mark and I. But on the flip side to that is the guys who are actually killing it in our leagues at the moment and keeping us afloat and keeping us positive, Mark. So we'll run through our leagues again. We managed to hold on to first and second. Supercoach Coach 10 moved from fifth to fourth, which was great to see. The biggest movers in the top 20 leagues that we have was probably the Supercoach Coach Vix. They moved moved in 8 spots to sit in 13th. So I broke into the top 20. So well done to that league. And noticed a lot of positivity, a lot of messages going around social media and our forums, supercoachcoach.com.au/forums. People getting excited and up and about, which is great. That's what we want to see, Mark. Normally, our veterans are the guys carrying the flags, but it's great to see that energy in our entire community this year. So keep it up, and you're keeping Mark and I afloat. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, still got 5 of the top 10 leagues, which is pretty awesome. Normally, those leagues at this stage of the year would have the other sort of veteran and elite groups out there dominating the leagues at this stage, and some of the other ones are nowhere to be seen at the moment.
Yep, so we are quietly confident, but, you know, a lot of water to go under the bridge. We said the same thing last year, and we got pipped after 13 or 14 weeks out in front, so no more counting our eggs before they hatch, Mark. On to our group update. So our group leaders from the Supercoach Coach group, the top scorer for this week was Chango Unchained, 2188, and he moved up to 2052nd. So something like 400 points more than me this week. So well done to you, mate. Hopefully the rest of your buys are set up well as well. And an update for our top 100 users in our Supercoach Coach group, Travesty scored 1966, dropped to 4th. Nate Snags, 1916 to 63rd. So they both hung on. And we've got a new entrant to the top 100, Hepatitis D, who was last week's top scorer in our group, followed up with another great 2036. So he's moved to 92nd. So a big couple of weeks from Hepatitis. Yep. Well done to you, mate. Remember, supercoachcoach.com.au/forums. Make sure to get involved with us there. Onto the actual topics for the week this week. We're going to look predominantly at the back line and in the rucks. And that's because a lot of us have held Oxlade-Sard with the thinking that in round 12, we'll swap down to the multitude of round 11 premium backmen. And also in the rucks, there's Jacobs, Martin, Marich, a lot of people holding Bell Chambers in our community. So I know that ruck and back line trading are particularly a focus this week. So to you guys who may be upgrading elsewhere, you might get a little bit less attention paid this week. So I apologize for that. But there's a fair bit to cover in the back and rucks. I think Sloan's probably the one guy in the midfield that we'll look at this week because he's pretty cheap at 480k coming off his buy. And just remember, you can jump on to facebook.com/supercoachcoach, and on Twitter we're at supercoachcoach. Ask us those questions each Tuesday. That's what forms our show each week. So thank you again for the massive response each week, and we'll get right on into it now, Mark. The first question, general question to start off with, about trades. So first question is from at DT Jackets or Daniel Coates. How many trades left would be ideal? So we get a lot of these sorts of questions, but now that we're heading into upgrade period, I thought, you know, we'll crack the nail on the head with this one. Personally, I think it's a bit of a hard question to give advice to because we don't like to give too general advice because it doesn't really apply to everyone. And so we generally leave these sorts of questions out. But going forward, for those of you that have this top of mind, I do think it's very much a situational thing. It depends on how good your cover is. If you didn't spend time trading out weak bench cover, you need to have more trades to allocate for the fact that you have a weaker bench. There's lots of different things to come into play. Also, whether you're going for the leagues or whether you're going for overall. Mark, how would you approach this question?
The more the better is the answer. I think if you're going into this week with 15 or more trades, you're in a very good position relative to other teams. But then I have seen teams that have 15 to 20 trades left at this stage, but then they've got two rookies on the ground in their back line, like not Sard Oxley rookies, like real rookies, or they have holes in their rucks or in their forward line. So it sort of also depends how many premiums you got on your field and how many trades you still need to make for upgrading. So I might have less trades than that, but I might be further ahead on the upgrade route. So look, I think coming out of the buys, if you have more than 8, you're probably doing really, really well. If you have less than 5 or 6, you're probably struggling.
The way I like to look at it, and this is, of course, overall strategy, is I like to accelerate my team as quickly as I can to finish it. And then when you start needing to actually get concerned about how many trades you have left is when you have to start looking at your bench and not spreading that a bit too thin. And so that's sort of the approach I'd take. So looking at your own teams, if you've got lots of trades and you've got lots of spots left on field, like Mark said, you should probably pull the trigger and go pretty aggressive from here on out. Pretty obvious with a huge amount of trades anyway, if you have something like 15. But if you have a few amount of trades, there's some people who go as aggressively to come out of the buys with only 6 trades, and people have won Supercoach doing that in the past. It really depends on an individual situation. So I almost wouldn't get too concerned until you're starting to drop really under 6-7 trades. I'd get a little bit concerned then, but I normally push it pretty hard up till that point for overall.
Yep, we're going to run out of trades.
All right, on to the injuries now, mate. Jake Lever, 1 to 2 weeks with an ankle. That hurts.
Seriously frustrating. Like, just at the time when we needed him, these 2 weeks are when we need him, and listed as 1 to 2, I guess, because he's a rookie, it'll probably be closer to 2.
And he's got a negative break even, Mark, which hurts. That really hurts when you trade out a rookie that can go up even with a score of 0. Yeah, it's
and he's looked really good. Like, he looked like an awesome pick a few weeks ago, and now that he's missed a few games in a row, that really hasn't worked out at all.
Yeah. Tom Rockliffe still listed as 3 to 4, so if you kept him for the 1 week, you'd probably look at the side swap this week.
Seeing lots of teams out there with him still in there.
He's gone this week, guys. If you still have him, I think it's not worth carrying that money through the buys. Simon Hiscock, he's got Mumford. Cluster Rucked is his hashtag, and I feel for you, Simon. I hope you didn't trade Bell Chambers to him, because that would really hurt. But Mumford, he's out for the season, confirmed. He done a ligament, which sucks for owners. Alex has asked about Brody Grundy. So he's done a neck injury at training, which was a bit of a mishap. If he's going to miss more than just the bye rounds, would you move on him this week, Mark? He does have his, you know, scheduled bye this week.
Yeah, and I think there's a bit of uncertainty about how long he would be. I mean, even after it happened, Collingwood was saying that they might still play him that week, but
yeah.
Then I was saying, no, he needs to spend 2 weeks in a neck brace. So, look, Grundy's been awesome this year. If you can upgrade around the buys and you don't have any bigger problems, it's probably not a bad time to move into what you might call a genuine premium, like a Jacobs sort of player.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the big topics, as I flagged earlier. So we'll get to option for him. And then we've got Mitch Clark, who, I mean...
Oh, my God. Jesus. What are you doing to us, Marcus?
Ah, so angry. So angry. I did not trade him last week because I was like, at least Clarkie, he'll come back this week. He was a pretty good chance last week. God, oh, frustrating. I think he's going for me this week because he's out. I'm not going to hold him.
Can't downgrade him to anyone, though. Nobody there.
Well, hopefully Steele gets a game because there's been an injury with Stephen Coniglio. So all I need him to play is this round. I don't care if he gets dropped next round. I'll use him for the forward mid cover. I need Steele to play this round for a downgrade. Birchall is the next guy. For people looking to him, just remember, he's listed as a test on the injury list with an ankle injury, so make sure you don't trade him out before he actually plays on the weekend. Probably good to wait on him until at actual bounce time. Hawthorn play all sorts of funny business with dudes who are not 100%. And Ryder, he's gone for me this week. Last week, Kenny Hinkley said that he's not going to play through the bye, so he is gone for me. Angry as well.
Kind of makes me a little bit happy.
Yeah, whatever. Lambert, shoulder. He's still listed as a week. So anyone hoping that he'd come back soon, forget about it.
That surprised me. I thought that he would be back at least playing VFL this week. I guess Steele has now leapt in front of him.
Mm-hmm. And Bontempelli, for anyone looking to sideswap to him, he's still listed as a test without adductor. So he's really cheap at the moment. People looking to trade to him, just make sure, again, hold off until you know he's playing for sure. And that's it for injuries.
That's a high break even, so you might get an extra week as well.
Mm-hmm. That's it for injuries, mate. It was long. That was painful and long. Too many Supercoach relevant guys that we had to talk about there.
My Supercoach team is looking like the Gold Coast Suns.
Good comparison, mate. I would say the exact same thing. All right, to the rookies now. Who can I downgrade to get some actual cash? Rick Dovey is asking. Hamling's probably the obvious one. Hopefully he gets named.
Yeah, I don't know, mate. Unfortunately, we're looking at like Hamling and then you're really scraping the bottom of the barrel. Like Steele's a good chance to debut this week, but Coniglio is only out for 2 or 3 weeks. They say that Steele's ready, but what's his job security going to be like? You might just have to almost take him anyway.
He might be a sub.
Really good point. And then he's not really improving your team this week much anyway. So there's really not much out there, mate. I wish I had a better answer than that.
I'll list the guys who actually made their debut on the weekend. So hopefully if they get another game, people can look a little bit more closely at them. The good thing is if you pick a round 13 bye player, most people are well set up for that round. So we really are looking at guys who are just playing this weekend. So team sheets are pretty darn important this week, I think. Alex Neil Bullen, he made his debut for the Melbourne Demons and they got hit by more injuries as well. We've got Billy Stretch, who's only gone up 18K. He played his third game on the weekend.
I think I like Neil Bullen more than him.
Okay. Who knows if Connor Menadue plays? He's only gone up 22K. He scored a 0, of course, as we remember in round 10. But he played 4 games in a row. I think 3 as a sub, so that's not great news, but he's playing.
Really talking him up there, mate.
I mean, we're really struggling for options this week, which is why last week we really emphasized pick up the rookies when you can. It's silly to do the no trade option thing last week. So hopefully you guys have built up a little bit of bank as was suggested, and Hamling can be the only downgrade you need this week, and you can do a double up. That's hopefully my plan for the week, Mark.
Really? Well, I took Pierce last week, so pretty reluctant to trade out Lever, I think, just because I'm not really getting enough money for it. So in a little bit of a tricky spot, don't really have any downgrade options. If I downgrade this week, I'll probably be looking at a Steele Lambert type player.
Yep, I'm really, really hoping Steele comes through. That would be a godsend with Clark's situation. So, unfortunately, not much advice that we can give you that's meaningful at this stage. So, keep your eyes out on team sheets. That's pretty much the best that we can do. Hopefully, something comes up. To the actual backline, Mark, and here we can give a bit more direction. We got a lot of people looking to actually cash in. We've got Oxley and Saad, both with their buys this week, and most people were planning to trade them to premiums this week. So it's a big, big week for the backline. But before we actually get into who to trade in, Mark, with Oxley and Saad killing it, Saad is the 30th best defender and Oxley is the 27th. They're averaging 84 and 83.5 respectively. The 15th best defender is only averaging 5 points more. They're really not far off. And if you don't have to spend a trade on them, if you can use them maybe as a pivot player in Saad's case, do you see value in actually holding these guys now? I mean, especially Oxley, his break even 6. And we got a few cheeky questions specifically targeting the Oxley question toward you, Mark. With a break even of 6, even though you don't have him, he's probably the one that's more tempting to hold on to.
Yeah, I'm not sure what I did there. I've broken something. I wouldn't be keen to keep both of them for all of the year on the ground. I know that some teams might be able to get Saad, Kenzie being abused as a swingman between the mids and the defense, and if you could set that up with Saad on the bench, I think that's a pretty good idea. I think that Saad is probably the one to go for me, even though I've already traded out Oxley, because he just looks very injury prone. Just watching the game on the weekend, he got 3 or 4 knocks, and in usual circumstances, he might have even had to be subbed out of the game. He's just taped up everywhere. He seems like he's going to play it out. He hasn't missed too many games so far, but he seems like he could break at any moment. And maybe I'm wrong, and I hope I'm wrong, but I guess first year in the AFL, it is really hard to keep up an 83 average for the whole year, even as a mature age rookie. So out of the two, I'd be keeping Oxley. I don't think it's terrible to trade both. I don't think it's terrible to try and keep both and see what happens. So it really depends on your own team. I think that's not very good advice, is it?
I think that is, because it does really depend on your team. It'd be wrong of us to give blanket advice. It depends on how they can function for you. Like you said, Mark, Saad is more attractive as a swing player. I think overall, between the two of us, I have been the more conservative one when it comes to holding on to rookies and mid prices in the past. I've always been very aggressive about trading them out because of a late season taper. They tend to just flag, even when you don't expect it, even when it seems like things are going well. They do seem to flag, and I think in general I still subscribe to that theory. All that mention about Saad being sore, that raises some big flags for me, Mark. So I would agree with that. Oxley, I would keep ahead of Saad, and remember, Saad is a younger player as well. Oxley's been in the system for a while. He's had injury concerns, but he's not a first year player, Oxley. Saad, of course, is a mature age recruit, but it is his first year in the AFL system, so that is something to consider as well. If these guys are potentially cover positions one day, for example, you might upgrade to an extra 6 premium defender and you push Oxley or Saad out to your bench position. I think Oxley in that regard is a much better bench player, because if I read out his top scores, he's had 2, 4, 6 scores above 97, including a 148 and 122. Whereas Saad's top score is 106, the next is 96, and then after that drops to 90. So where Oxley's a little bit more inconsistent, if he comes on as a sub player, you kind of want that bigger impact when he actually does well. And so from that regard, I prefer to keep Oxley. And he's also got a break even of 6. So 122 and 105, yeah. He's averaging 110 since you traded him out, Mark. Unfortunately, I think that's good
Patrick
enough.
Patrick Ryder, man. That's all I got.
That's all you got. That hurts more than Oxley, let me tell you that. I think that's good enough reason to hold on to him. And I certainly am changing my strategy. Oxley's side have been outs for me, 100% outs for me the entire year. But I'm going to hold on to Oxley. I will trade Saad, though. So that's where I'm at. On to the next question, Mark. Cameron Marks, give me your thoughts on Hodge. I know you say it's always best to start him and not trade him in, and given the fact that both of us started him last year and got burnt, there's a lot of our community wondering what our thoughts on him are. Cameron wants to remind us that he's already missed 3 games of suspension. He's coming off his bye, so that's a 4th game that he's missed. Hawks need to win games. They're not in that comfortable spot where they're just coasting to the top 4. So there's a lot of people who are actually getting attracted to that top end in his scoring. What would you say to those people?
I think he's a bit of a tricky one, to be honest, and it's really hard to get a really solid read. I mean, his Dream Team scoring has been insane this year. He's averaging 116 in Dream Team in 2015 and 109 in Supercoach. So he has never averaged 116 in Dream Team. He's never had the ball that much, and I think that indicates that he is playing more midfield this year than probably he has for a little while. But a lot of the times you'll get the ball in a contested situation and just hack it forward, just looking to gain ground, I guess. But if he's getting the ball that much, then he's a good pick. I think that people's read on the fact that he shouldn't really miss a game from here. He's had four games off already. Hawks fighting for top four, or even potentially top two if everything went their way. I think that they're going to need him to play as many games from here as possible. So realistically, he shouldn't be getting a rest or much of a rest. It's just, can he keep up that sort of scoring at 544,000? It's a lot to be paying for a defender. So you'd really need him to average 105 from here. And like, his last few years of averages have been 85, 96, and 91. So what is there to say that he can keep up an average and get around that 105 average when his current average is sort of inflated by that huge game that he had against the Doggies in Tasmania of 177. So I'm really unsure on him. I think it's a huge gamble. It could pay off really well, but it's a lot of money to be paying for a defender.
Okay, well, here's my sales pitch, because I'm on the bandwagon now. I traded him in. I've been loving his scoring. I did look at Hodge in the preseason. I did bring him up because I noticed that in the back half of the season, after we've traded the bloody guy out, he averaged 110, including the finals. And we all talked about the fact that Hawthorn builds towards finals. That's what they prepare their players for. So considering he's had 4 weeks rest in the last 6 weeks, I'd agree with your assessment about him playing moving forward. And I'd also say that your assessment about him playing more midfield time is entirely accurate. I think we saw Lewis last year get more of the midfield ball, and this year he's not quite hit that same straps yet. Overall, we've always said there's certain players that if they go on runs, you'll really, really hurt not having them. Hodge is one of those players where if he averages 110, especially in the back line, if you don't have him, you're pretty much not going to win the comp. Because one random person will have him and he'll score 15 points more for than you than the rest of the season, and that'll be enough to tip them across the edge. We've seen that in Chapman before. We've seen that in lots of different players before, that sometimes they're X-factor players, Dane Beams in the midfield a few years ago, that just go on runs. And specifically in the back line where scoring is really hard to find. I mean, there's Hodge, McDonald, Shaw. Hooley's the next best at 103.7, who has no exposed history of that level of scoring. It drops right off to Corey Enright, who's the next highest at 97. And nobody would have had that confidence that Corey Enright would be the fifth highest scorer at the start of the year. So it drops off fairly significantly. And from that point of view, Hodge's value sort of increases. So I do think that he may be worth taking the risk on. Again, it's hard to say because I have him in my team and he's injury prone. So, you know, I don't want to go too gung-ho because you're still taking a risk. Like, that you have to acknowledge that. But I sort of think that the upside that he's got is so potentially high that I think it's probably worth the risk.
Pretty interesting points there, mate. I think there's probably a little bit of hope in there that that's what you're hoping is going to happen.
Absolutely.
Interesting that when you say that he averaged 110 over the back half of last year, he only actually scored over 100 five times. And if you take the finals out, it would have been much closer to 100. So Hodgie is a finals player. We know that. So not sure how much to read into that. Yeah, look, it's a gamble, and at 544,000, you'll either win or you won't win, I guess. You only really, really lose if he misses games.
Yeah. And that question actually was from Moosey from Spain. So, hey, Moosey, from the other side, I think he's in Madrid. So, thank you for your question, Moosey. Lots of people had Hodge on their mind, so it's good that we covered him off. The next question is about another round 11 defensive player. Dean Phelps is asking about Laird. Is he a viable option or another Supercoach mirage? That's a bit interesting because he's a mid-price player from the start of the season, but he's sitting at the eighth highest averaging defender at the moment, Mark, which I think is pretty unbelievable. I remember 2 weeks in when we were on the bubble, after Laird had scored 107 and 98, and I said he was my pick for the mid prices, and it was a complete shot in the dark. He scored 250s after that, and I thought that I just gave some terrible advice. But since then, the last 5 weeks, 122, 101, 64, 131, and 132. He's only at 475,000. Adelaide backline has been known for producing defensive scorers before. We've seen Brody Smith, Henderson. There are a few guys who are not getting the points there. Do you think Laird is a legitimate option, Mark?
Good question, mate. I mean, if you look at four of the last 5 weeks, then you would think that he is. Look, I remember bringing in Jensch about this time last year. He never really lived up to expectations. He was okay, but he probably averaged 85 to 90 from this point in the season. You've got to remember that Brody Smith has either not been in the team or not been fit or not necessarily playing his usual role in some of those games that Laird's been killing. So I expect Brody Smith to come back in and maybe take some of those points. I mean, Jensch isn't there, so there is another spot. I mean, Henderson's not there at the moment as well, so there is another rebounding spot. I think that he's probably fully priced. I don't expect him to average more than 95, that's for sure. Probably in the 85-90 range, and there's probably other players out there that will give you the same return. I think that's just what I think about it.
I agree. I think you're a genius if you listened to me and bought him in as a mid-pricer after two rounds, because that was pretty genius in the end, but I'd agree with you overall. If you are looking at options now, go for the bona fides. He's now priced together the premium, so yeah, I'd actually agree with you 100% there, Mark. And so we'll get onto the actual premium options now. Kyle Voloshky, he's got two guys on his mind, Pickin and Hooley. Probably performing above what we expect them to at the moment. And so from that point of view, they're sort of POD picks. Hooley's averaging 103.7. We've not really seen him do more than 95 before. And Pickin, he's playing midfield time. After the first few weeks of 56, 51, and 64, he's been playing midfield and he's pretty much averaging 115, maybe even pushing that. Do you think either of these guys have merit? Because they're well priced, 480 and 513. Some of the options that we're going to get to, like Rance, who's also off his buy, is only at 400.
Look, I think that Hooley is probably a good pick this year. Richmond seemed to be coming into a bit of form. It's hard to see. They've got so many sort of good players in their team. It's hard to know whether they can all score quite well. But I think Hooley is a really good chance to be top five defenders this year. He's seems to be just scoring really, really well. Pickin seems to be really flourishing under the new coach. I had him for a while in draft last year and he scored really well when he was playing some roles, but then they'd give him sort of lockdown on the small forward sort of roles and he wouldn't score so well, but that doesn't seem to have happened this year. He's got a much bigger role in that Bulldogs midfield, so I guess you're picking a genuine-ish midfielder for 513k in your back line, so he might be a bit of an outlier like Hodge. So I think that they're probably both good ins and both decent chances of making top six backs.
I definitely like Pickin a lot more than Hooley. I sort of feel 150 and 165, that those are huge games from Hooley, and they may be clearly his highest scores from the year. So it feels like his scores are quite inflated, but you know, then again, I can't blame you for taking the pick because he's now only at 480 and he can very well average 100 for the rest of the season if he keeps this sort of form up. But overall, I think, yeah, I like your assessment of picking there, mate. I think the only issue is his price tag. A lot of people are looking for value at this stage of the season just because we're struggling for downgrades as well. So that'd be my only issue with him. If you have the cash to do it, do actually quite like the pick.
I'm actually the opposite to that. I think Cooley's a better pick just because of the role uncertainty to do with Pickin. He does seem to be playing a different role under Beveridge, but there's no guarantees that's going to play out for the rest of the year.
On to the next question here, still in the back line. This one's from Michael Angelo Escander. Compare similar premiums, Rance, Birchall, and Simpson. So these guys are probably a bit more standard picks as compared to Pickin and Hooley. We know sort of what to expect from them. They're all coming off their buys. How would you compare those guys? Rance is at 430, Birchall's at 460, and Cade Simpson's the highest at 506. And let's chuck in another one as well while we're at it. Gibson at 486,000. A lot of people looking at him. He's at the ninth highest, averaging at 95. We know a little bit more about them. Who would you pick?
Already have Gibson. Are we very, very strongly considering Saad to Rance this week? It seems like a 10-point per game improvement, plus you get the extra game this week. So if Rance scores well, then you're sort of looking at a couple hundred points, which doesn't seem too bad. And Rance is only $40,000 more as well. So that seems like a reasonable use of a trade. And I'm a little bit worried that Richmond have probably played better over the last 4 or 5 weeks. Yet Rance's scores have gone down. 3 low scores out of the last 5 weeks. That definitely concerns me. Not totally sure what to make of it. I think...
Yeah, I reckon, Mark, that's 100%, you know, due to the fact they're winning. Like, the reason I love McDonald and why I loved him when you picked him up is no matter what, even when Melbourne win games, it's still a struggle. And most of the time, the back line's just being bombarded. Whereas when Richmond are doing well, they don't rely on Rance to take the intercept marks and drive them out of defense with counterattack. So, I mean, it's definitely a concern that he scores poorer and wins, but I definitely think that there's a definitive correlation there. Key position defenders definitely do better in losses, I reckon.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. And then I guess you're comparing it to Birchall, who I don't really love because he's coming off 3 weeks being out. Gibson, I picked up a couple of weeks ago. I think he's an awesome pick, especially with Lake and Frawley being fit. I picked him up and then he had his lowest score of the year. Simpson, a bit more expensive. You're looking at the 500,000 there. So look, Rance is just, you're really looking at the value for money. Simpson, I think, seems Mr. Reliable. He seems to be having a pretty prominent role with the new coach. So he seems like a pretty good pick too.
I agree with you, Mark. Rance would be my value pick. If you're struggling for value, I wouldn't even think about it. He's a good pick for that price, 100%. Birchall's the one I'd sort of rule out there. If I was going to pay 460, I'd go a little bit higher and either pay for Gibson, who I think has got a better role because the intercept marks are worth a little bit more and you're not reliant on needing the ball in your hand, getting past the ball in order to get those rebound points. And I think Simpson is probably a standout as just a consistent good option. But I mean, you have to pay the top dollar for him. So it just depends on what sort of price range you're in for, but yeah, those are my assessment. I think pretty close to yours, Mark. Overall, picking Hooley, Rance, Birchall, Simpson, Gibson, Laird, and Hodge. There's so many options there. Can you give me a top three, Mark?
Rance would be part of the top three just because of how much value he presents. I picked up Gibson 2 weeks ago and my assessment on him is still the same. I still think he's an awesome pick at that price and he can average over 100 with those other guys back. It's just that one game is like sticking in my mind of making me feel a little bit less confident. I guess Hodgie just because of the upside. I'm not 100% convinced that it's a good pick, but if you're looking at who's going to score the most points out of those guys, he would probably be a favorite to do so. So from that perspective, he probably has to be in the top three.
For my three, Mark, I think Hooley gets really close, but again, I don't like the key position defenders. I only pick McDonald because he's playing for Melbourne, basically. So even though he's got value, he probably just misses out for me on the top three. He comes in fourth, but then I'd have Hodgson, Pickin, and Simpson probably. Just like the fact that more midfield time for me in the back line is gold. So if you have the cash, those would be the three that I'd head for. Hodge 1 for me, Simpson 2, Pickin 3 in that order. And on to the last question for the back line this week from Tim's Trading. And sorry, Tim, I just noticed you dropped out of the top 100 this week. Hopefully you crack back in next week. If you don't have Adelaide's Brody Smith, is it worth bringing him in now? And I think it's absolutely hilarious that all this talk about Smith pre-buys and after he's had terrible showings, nobody even wants to have a bar of it. Mark, are you still considering him at all?
If you had him listed in that list of defenders that you listed a second ago, I would have him as number one option this week.
I knew you would, buddy. I don't know how much of that's just rubbing salt into my wounds, but yeah, no, he has great value. I worry he's going to average 85 for the year. That's my concern. And I mean, in that case, like, what's the difference between him and Stard or Oxley?
If 85 is his basement, then I'd be pretty happy with that as a basement. The fact that he scored 144 and 117 in the first 2 weeks, then picked up a concussion and came back and scored 87 and just wasn't right after that. So really struggled with his scoring since then. But everything seems to be that he's probably going to be fit for the rest of the year. Jench is out. There's a role for him in Adelaide midfield. The Adelaide draw isn't great. That could probably affect his chance of scoring really well. But he did score well against North and Collingwood in the first 2 weeks. So, look, I think at that price, I don't see myself passing him up at all. It's just like you can upgrade Nathan Brown to him for 60,000, which is crazy. You can upgrade Camden McIntosh to him for 30. If you have any doubts, you can wait a week. He still has a high break even. You can move him to your bench if you have to later. I think he's an awesome pick.
Enough of the back line. Talked quite a bit there, so hopefully covers off any of the double upgrades that you guys are going for. I know that was my plan until I'm deciding to probably hold Oxley, but hopefully that's helpful. In the midfield, we don't have much time to cover it. I'm running out of checkout time, basically past my checkout time at this stage. So we've got Sloan with a 117 break even. I think he makes the most sense at 480 if you're looking to bring in a premium midfield this week. Off the buys, he just makes a lot of sense. But at the same time, if you need to hold off on him, you absolutely can. Agree?
100% agree. I think he's a must have.
Cool. He'll be coming into my team probably next week. Rucks, Jordan Donaldson's question now. So we're moving on to people who are moving Bell Chambers on or Ryder or just finishing their ruck line. In the rucks, Mark, we're presented with a rather interesting option this week, and Jordan Donaldson wants to know about Max Gawn. F7 for ruck cover. Is it worth trying to reestablish this bloody ruck forward link? Max Gawn's played 2 games, pushed Spencer out of the team. It looks like Jamar's sort of been relegated to old news, and they're going to blood the youth now. But Gawn is pretty attractive because he's got a low price tag, and he's got that ruck forward cover. He scored, I think, 118 last week and 98 the first week. And Spencer scored hundreds in both his weeks before he went out. So it does seem like Melbourne have lots of clearance situations, lots of hit-out situations for their rucks to earn a heap of points from.
Thing that worries me probably is that Jamar and Spencer are both fit, both played in the VFL on the weekend, both played well. He's only played, come in for two games. There's a chance that he is going to do really well and secure a spot in that team for the rest of the year and average around 100. There's also a chance that he's going to start performing worse. He's going to have to share the ruck role with someone like Spencer, and he's going to get dropped. So I think that he's just too high risk, personally. If he was about 250, 280, I think he'd be a really good pick, potentially. But at his price, I think there's a lot of risk attached to that pick.
I did this sort of thing a few years ago where I traded in a 330K cheapie and was trying to get a little bit of value in the rucks because I was struggling with poor scoring rucks. And instead of just paying for the bonafide, I was messing around and Faker got dropped or injured or something. And I had to do two more trades in the ruck line. Basically, don't mess around with these mid prices too much. If you're bringing in Gorn,
you're talking about CB, aren't you?
Yep, CB, not Staker, CB. That worked out terribly a few years ago. Any of our legacy listeners from 2-3 years ago remember me going through that absolutely horrible time of trading in a 300K ruck and having him get dropped or injured 2 weeks after and having to... When you only have 300K to play with in the rucks, it means that you have to double trade to get to a decent ruck when you actually want to fix that problem, which is awful.
What I'm hearing from the forums though, Marcus, is people are not comparing him to CB. They're comparing him to Stefan Martin from last year. They're saying, is he Stefan Martin 2015?
I think that's a bit, like you said, more hoping than actual reality. You know, he's played two games. JMR played the first five. Spencer played the next four. Gaunt played the next two. That doesn't point to great things. And look, I think if you pick him up, it's with the understanding that he could come in average hundreds. Even if he gets dropped, you just pivot him out onto your bench and hopefully he comes back in later and provides cover. Absolutely fine. But if you're in a situation where he's playing as your number two ruck, I would really, really recommend against it. It's killed me in seasons past, and I would just not go there. On to Adam Whitfield's question. If you have Bell Chambers as a forward cover, would you get rid of him? I think most of us are getting rid of him. So the real question is, does that mean we're relegated to no more ruck forward cover, Mark, and we just got to trade for injuries?
Yeah, I think so. Bell Chambers was the holy grail and it didn't work out. So look, I guess the other option coming through is potentially McKernan, who would be a good chance of getting picked next week. I guess he's no more certain than Gorn, just a little bit cheaper. So I think that, yeah, that ship has sailed, unfortunately. Yeah.
So we have a few people asking whether you should be trading in, you know, ruck cover in terms of rookies. With Mumford going down, there's a chance Phillips will get more ruck games and that sort of stuff. Downey. But, you know, overall, I think, now that we've been burnt by Bell Chambers, there's no point trying to look for a holy grail, like you said, Mark, when there's none. Because all you end up is getting in a compromised player who you've picked for structural reason, and when they don't work out, it doesn't even work structurally anymore, and they're just full on a terrible pick. So I think unless there's a standout option, we thought Bell Chambers was a standout option, but he wasn't. If there's no standout option as a ruck forward, you just concede to trading if you're dealing with injuries and understand that pretty much everybody else will be in the same situation.
Yep.
All right, and then on to the actual ruck options, Mark. So we've got the three guys to talk about. Cameron Lockhead's asked about Jacobs and Marich. Thomas Goals has asked about Martin. I don't have a heap of time left, Mark, so I just want you to maybe rate the three of them for me, one, two, three, and compare the pair or the trio.
If he can stay fit, which he's shown back half of last year and early part of this year that he can, I think Steph Martin is the pick of the bunch just because he doesn't rely on the tap so much to score his points. So his basement isn't quite as low and Leuenberger seems even more out of form than Bell Chambers, if that's possible. Jacobs would definitely be my next pick and probably the value pick of the week just because he's that bit cheaper than the others. Marek has been scoring really well, but he does have a reasonably high break even this week and doesn't have the durability that Jacobs does. So look, I guess because of value and durability, Jacobs wins. Because of ceiling, I think I'd have Martin ahead.
100% agree with you. Jacobs with the value, he's 30K less than both Marich and Martin. Marich and Martin are actually the two most expensive rucks at the moment, 574, 572. Marich really surprised me with his 105, but overall, yeah, I agree with your assessments. And I'm probably going to Jacobs just because I'm trying to squeeze every dollar with our lack of downgrades and players like Lever maybe having to be cashed in earlier than expected. So yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm just going to squeeze every dollar. And Jacobs did well for us last year. Hopefully on the run home, they've got Scott Thompson, Sloan back. They've got so many players that win clearances really well, and if he can get 5 points for each hit out to advantage that way, there could be some huge points in him there. That's pretty much the only reason Sandilands has been killing it, just a massive amount of hit out to advantage, and Jacobs has that same potential. So yeah, he'd be my pick of the three just because of value. That's it. I don't think we have time for anything else, Mark. Unfortunately, I am late. I've got a nick off, so thanks very much for rocking up a little bit earlier to record the show with me this week, mate.
Thanks for phoning in from so far away. Dedication. Love your dedication to the show and to our listeners and to the leagues that are doing quite well out there. I'm I'm not looking forward to next week's show already because this week's going to be tough.
Absolutely. Round 12 is the horror week. So just remember, guys, everyone's in a slightly terrible situation. It's hard to see those scores in the bye weeks, but hopefully, as you guys have experienced, or most of you guys in our community, poor scores doesn't mean a poor ranking. A lot of you have still been killing it. So well done to all of you. Massive, massive kudos, and keep up the positive energy around our community. We really appreciate it. It's great to see everybody up and about and killing it. I can't believe we have 11 of the top 23 leagues. So a huge kudos to all of you. And again, thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you again next week.
See ya, buddy.
See ya. Yeah.